Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
This is our final Sunday of Advent, and we move from the prophets to the Gospel of John. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each shares the good news from a different perspective. Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, followed by the birth narrative. Mark begins with the story of an adult John the Baptism, preparing the way, followed by the ministry of an adult Jesus. Luke backs up to the announcement of the conception of John the Baptism and his birth, and then the birth of Jesus. And John takes us all the way back to the beginning, the Genesis story. The Gospel of John shares the birthing narrative of Jesus in a totally unique way. Before we get there, let's pray. God, guide us through Scripture today, providing insight and understanding, along with the ability to see this familiar passage in new and beautiful ways. Amen. I came into service this morning with my socks on because I had the baptism and had lots of changes, the clothes, and Brinley had bare feet. And I remembered a scripture a while back about standing on holy ground and taking off your shoes, and I thought, I just want to be as connected to today's service as possible. And so you'll see I now have on bare feet, which may be, I don't have on bare feet, my feet are bare, which may seem odd, but it is intentional. The first chapter of John is one of the best known passages in the New Testament. The cadence of poetry provides this grand opening to the story that introduces several key themes. Glorious good news, if you will. Although John does not contain the birth narrative of Jesus per se, it is a story of origin. It declares Christ as the eternal, pre-existent Word who was with God in the beginning, but also declaring this Word as the only child of a divine parent. Confusing or mind-blowing, depending on your point of view. John's reference to the Word reflects language found in the Hebrew Bible. In the opening verse of Genesis, God speaks creation into being, and that same word gives Moses law at Mount Sinai. Comes to the people through the prophets, the ones we've studied throughout the course of Advent. John refers to this word as logos. Makes me think of our logos room that is housed in the very center of our building, containing items for fellowship intended to connect this congregation. There's good theology there, lots of truth to ponder. John refers to the word as wisdom, and it's interesting that in Jewish tradition, wisdom is personified as a woman. The Hebrew word chokmah, wisdom, is feminine. Logos is translated as word, but it has a broader meaning, including that which brings forth the inward thought, or that by which the inward thought is expressed. So when we think of Christ as Logos, it's more than a word from God, but it's an expression of God's very own being. Christ is center. It's also at the beginning and in the end. The connection, the heart of God revealed, God made known. Ponder that as you hear scripture from John chapter 1, verses 4 through 14.
Now there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The good news, according to John, is that this Logos brings light and life. The Gospel of John uses the word Zoe, or life, 19 times standing alone by itself, another 17 times in combination with the word eternal. The good news places great emphasis on life eternal. The related verb Zeo, or to live, is also used 17 times in the Gospel of John. The emphasis on life is spoken to an ancient world where disease and hunger, mortality were realities for many people, especially for children. Tuck that note away. It's important, and we will expand on that on Christmas Eve. An advantage to being in worship during Advent is hearts prepared to receive Christ at Christmas. The emphasis of life eternal is just as relevant for us today. I have said those words over and over again throughout the course of Advent. God speaks to our post-COVID world, the sting of death still fresh, the wounds still open, and yet God's word is life, eternal life. Life that no enemy can rob, steal, or take away. God speaks life and light into the darkest night. Hear now scripture from John 1, 15 through 18.
John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known."
I just witnessed Aiden turn to Ben and say, hey, that's Grandpa. I don't know that that's what he said, but he made that connection. I hope you guys made the connection. This is Brenly's family that is reading scripture for this service. That was intentional to connect them with this baptism. And again, I am so glad that these bare feet have allowed me to be connected to these holy moments in worship. There's a shift at the conclusion of this passage from God and wisdom, or logos, being together at the beginning to this father who is embracing a child. The one with God is called logos, life, or simply the masculine singular pronoun autos, or him. Verse 6 appoints a place and time to logos and connects the word with humanity. Verse 14, word becomes flesh, and another relationship is introduced, giving us the image of a father's only child. Now, some translations use the term only begotten. Gail O'Day states that the adjective used here, monogenes, is derived from the word mono, meaning only, and genethenal, which means birthed or begotten. Now stick with me here. Begetting is the male role in conception. The dual meaning of genethenal includes birthed, a distinctly female act, suggesting that gender definitions are being transformed in Scripture. Christ is described as wisdom, feminine in nature, and him, masculine in nature, and God is described as both begetting and birthing, male and female distinctions. John provides us with an incredible opportunity to know God better, to understand more. But we have to take advantage of that opportunity. Let's stick strictly with Scripture as it is written, and try as best we can to figure out what does this mean for us here and now. God is described as a parent, one who both begets like a father and gives birth like a mother, although monogenes is often translated as only son. Only child is a more accurate translation. Note the word hulos, or son, does not appear in this passage. In fact, throughout the New Testament, monogenes is used to indicate a unique relationship between parent and child. The child of the Gospel of John speaks of is close to his father's heart. More literally stated, is in the bosom of his father. The Greek word translated heart or bosom is kolpos, which means chest or lap. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, kalpos refers to the carrying of children, as in Numbers 11:12. Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, carry them at your bosom as a nurse carries a suckling child to the land that you promised an oath to their ancestors? This passage in John's story is the origin of Jesus. And he just begins his narrative much earlier in the story, similar to the other Gospels. John's focus, however, is not on Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and kings or John the Baptist. John's focus is on the relationship between God and Jesus, both one from the beginning, yet also brought forth as human, the parent-child relationship. It's important that we let go, focus, and allow God to work in our hearts and minds, eliminate distractions, and remove all that hinders and holds back. Often our default when we read about Father God and Son Jesus Christ is that of an adult parent or an adult son. But John's gospel, at this point anyway, invites us to consider a different image, the son who is at the bosom of his father, an infant or a child lying against a divine parent's chest. It's the image of God eternal parent, embracing the divine child. The good news of John is that this child has come to reveal the heart of God to the people of God, to bring life and light to a world filled with despair. So, what does the heart of God reveal to us through Jesus? Well, this passage tells us three times: grace and truth, grace upon grace, grace and truth. God's gift of hope, peace, love, and joy given again and again and again to those who are undeserving. Truth is an awareness that we are constantly and continually growing, that God is bigger than the boxes that we've created. The heart of Christianity should reflect the heart of Jesus, a passionate devotion to the well-being of humanity. God's heart is love for the creation and the life that God breathed into it. That life just doesn't feel quite right if love isn't the greatest part of it. Think about the hope of a father cradling his infant son to his chest. Hope for a future, peace like nothing else can offer, love indescribable and joy overflowing. That is the Christmas narrative from John that's shared with us today. Brinley, can you come up here for just a minute? I'm going to have her help me finish off this sermon because I think that this was God ordained and it's just on my heart to end this way. I'm going to have to hold you up so I can get you up when it's time, all right? I have to admit that we'll just get you over here. I saw this passage as more of a challenge than a joy, but the Spirit guided my heart to an understanding that happiness can be found in the gifts that the world offers, but happiness is temporary, it's fleeting. Joy comes in the gifts that God offers, and joy comes in knowing God, in understanding His heart, so that we might be, in the example of beautiful little Miss Brinley, truly, that we might allow ourselves to truly become children of God. Because when joy comes, we receive it, how, Brinley?
Wholeheartedly.
Thank you, sweet girl.